This is David Mayo, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio on 89.9 KTSW.
And welcome back to Bobcat Radio right here on KTSW, 89.9, the other side of radio. This is the Friday show. Caleb Ryan Davis here alongside Matt Hamill and Eddie Lerma. Once again, if you want to join us in terms of conversation, you can't really join us right here in the studio. But if you want to join us in terms of conversation, you can on the Twitter sphere. Tweet us at KTSW Sports or use the hashtag Bobcat Radio.
Whoa.
What's up?
Good news, Caleb.
Yeah?
Someone wants to hear about some NASCAR, which means they also don't want to hear me talk.
Oh, well, hold on. What is the last name of...
Oh, it's Davis.
Oh, man. I should have known. That's got to be one of my family members. We might be able to talk a little bit about NASCAR later on, but... We'll get on to
that. If there's room for it, we'll see.
All right, guys. Once again, we're still talking about a little bit of college stuff right here. And it is time now for the College World Series. Of course, we've already gone through the tournaments. Then we went to the regionals, and we've been to the super regionals. And now we're to the College World Series, finally. And last week, we made some predictions. All right, guys.
I'm
so glad we did not put any sort of financial offering on this, because I had A&M going pretty much all the way to the end, and they're out. They're gone. A&M's gone. TCU knocked them off this last weekend.
Game. 6 hours.
Yeah, man. It was an overtime game. They're out. Louisiana Lafayette is out.
Thank God.
We talked about how far they were going to go. And, you know, it's just, man, we did not do good in terms of guessing. But the teams that are still in the College World Series and that are heading to Omaha are going to be Virginia, C.S. Fullerton, TCU, Arkansas, LSU, Florida, Vanderbilt, and Miami. So now, let's try this game one more time. Now that we have, you know, kind of finalized who's going to be in it, and by kind of, I mean we have actually finalized who's going to be in it, who do you guys have?
I want to say Florida.
Florida,
yeah.
All right.
I mean, they beat Miami and Florida State. They're their rivals. So if they can beat your rival, I feel like they can beat anyone else.
I might have to go with TCU. They were extremely impressive in the draft. They seem to have caught fire at the right time. And although I don't know too much about most of the other teams that are in the bracket right now, I feel like, you know, you got to go with the team that's hot. And TCU, they're hot.
TCU right now, as we saw in the Super Regional against A&M, they continue that ERA. And, you know, if you're not familiar with baseball, we'll get you guys a little bit caught up here. ERA, earned run average, basically how many runs you allow in a game on average. And basically their ERA is second in the nation right now. And, you know, when we say nation, you know, there's – like, there's way more than you can fathom. You know, that's something that it took
me... the entire BCS.
Right. It took me a long time to realize that, because you don't get, you know, a lot of the teams that are up in the 100s a lot of times. But to be second in the nation, it's to me, it's way more impressive than being, like, second in the American League West. Yeah, I mean, obviously it is. Or even second in the American League, because there's just so many teams out there, and to be that high caliber of a team in terms of pitching, that success is going to go a long way. However, I still got to stick with my guns, and I got to go with Vanderbilt, man. I think that they are coming back for a repeat, and I only hope that I'm right. So we'll see. Once again, it's time for the College World Series, so tune into that whenever you get the chance. Sticking it with the Diamond Sports, the U-SSA Pride, of course, the team that hosts Cat Osterman and Kelly Crutchman, two Bobcat coaches at the moment. They're playing their first home series this weekend, and it will be against the Dallas Charge once again, who Cat Osterman basically dominated this past weekend. All right, I'm just going to give you guys a little stat real quick that...
Please.
I remember that I saw on Twitter the other day, and it was that she had 10 strikeouts in the first 5 innings, and that... I remember the first inning and then the first out of the second inning was all strikeouts, and like you don't even need fielding when you're just that good sometimes, you know.
You
so it's fun to watch Kat Osterman play. Once again, this is her last season as a pro, so if you get a chance to watch that, do so. And if you're in Kansas City, go check them out right there.
They're 4-1, so
yeah. I don't know that there's a better team than U-SSA Pride, and so it's a little bit unfair sometimes, but it's developing, you know. So that's something that we're gonna see a lot more of.
I was just at Applebee's maybe 2 days ago, and I'm
sorry,
Matt. I'm sorry, Matt, but there was like at least 3 tables of like 10 people full, just watch of a little softball girls just watching Kat Osterman do her work, and yeah. I was like, man, Kat Osterman is idolized in Texas.
She is.
We have her here. I mean, we see her, we talk to her, we interview her, and what a privilege.
No, it's amazing how in Texas in particular, like, great pitchers are their heroes and their icons, and they're worshipped. And there's something about pitching in Texas that just feels like historic American baseball, you know, like it's dusty and it's super hot and sticky outside, but kids are just out there playing baseballs and making legends of themselves.
And yes, I do go to Applebee's.
Are you referring to Nolan Ryan?
I am referring.
Is Kat Osterman like the Nolan Ryan of softball? Does she have that term, or is she better than Nolan Ryan?
She's becoming Nolan Ryan.
Okay.
Slowly but surely, but if she keeps striking out more batters than innings pitched, slowly but surely she'll get there.
One thing that she does that Nolan Ryan didn't do is she pitches day after day. Nolan Ryan had to wait.
True.
Starts. And this is coming from a guy who's pretty much named after Nolan Ryan. So
that's a crazy thing too about softball. I mean, we saw Randy Rupp all year. Just like she would play double headers if she could. I mean, she would pitch pretty much every single game. And there's something, I don't know. Major League Baseball pitchers, they maybe pitch once a week, twice a week.
Yeah
as a starter, relievers maybe 3 days out of the week. Not that much volume out of a major league pitcher, but that's a very impressive feat.
Yeah. All right, well, that's about all we got for NPF. Moving on now to another NBA, and that is going to be the NBA Finals that's going on right now. And Golden State, they win last night and even the series at 2-2. I was trying to give the Cavs the benefit of the doubt last week, you know, and just say that I really thought that they had a chance. But last night, they just didn't even show up to the arena, honestly.
I was burying the Cavs last week, if you guys will recall, and I was praying last night that the Cavs wouldn't make me eat my words today. So I was very much praying for a Golden State victory. The fact that it was a blowout was strange to me, but if you look at the last 3 games, Golden State have dominated the fourth quarter. And sure, in Game 2 and Game 3, they were both losses, but you know, Steph Curry found his fire in game 3's fourth quarter. Golden State made a huge comeback in Game 2's fourth quarter, which sent the game to overtime. And then Game 4's fourth quarter, where they just stuck the fork in Cleveland and called them done. And I think this is now the turning point of the series. Cleveland's rotation's far too small. J.R. Smith and Matthew Dellavedova have come crashing back down to earth, and LeBron James is now finally showing signs of fatigue. So the series, it's at a key moment right now. Game 5 is until Sunday. So the Cavaliers have another precious extra day to recuperate, but it's nervy times for them.
Yeah, so we've seen that whenever the Cavs win, it seems like there's a consensus that they won because LeBron James had a good game, and then somebody else helped them out. That was whenever they won. Now, if y'all were to say why the Warriors won last night and why they've been, as you say, dominating this series, why has that been happening?
Oh, dominating the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Is what the Warriors have been doing, and they've still lost games dominating in the fourth quarter. The big key for the Warriors yesterday was they actually played like they cared. You know, it was we're in a finals game. Let's dive to the floor to get loose balls. Draymond Green bashed the team after Game 3, saying that they were losing all the 50-50 balls because nobody was really showing that heart. And the lineup change. So Steve Kerr...
Definitely did that.
Steve Kerr, in his press conference after the game, came out and told the media, yes, I lied to you earlier this afternoon when I told you my starting lineup. I know, so conniving of him, but... He lied, and he started Andre Iguodala in place of Andrew Bogut. So he did a little lineup change in that Iguodala lines up at the 3, Harrison Barnes is the 4, and Draymond Green is the starting center. Cleveland started big. They had Mozgov at 5, Tristan Thompson at 4, LeBron James at 3. So you get that Iguodala-LeBron James matchup. The Golden State, they like Iguodala guarding James the most.
Iguodala was probably watching Kawhi Leonard footage from last year.
He was.
I think, personally, Steven, even the Spurs are still the champs, by the way. I feel that Kawhi Leonard has been the only defensive guy that was able to, like, cover LeBron James properly.
Okay, but why have... Okay, you told me why, and it's because you think that the Warriors just have been giving more effort and have cared more. why do you think that the Warriors have been having success?
Mostly Stephen Curry. Mostly he's a small guy. He loves to run around, and I think he swallowed his pride and like, hey, you know, I'm gonna tell everyone else, you gotta step up. You know, you gotta Klay Thompson. He's gotta do his thing. He's not putting in those numbers, but J.R. Smith isn't either. So I think Golden State's just staying average, and they know that even being average, they're going to win the games.
Okay, see, mine is way simpler than y'all's. It's a very, very simple idea to me, and I don't understand why it hasn't happened.
I'm way overthinking this.
When they double-team LeBron, they win ball games. It's as simple as that. They did it last night, and they dominated the game. Okay, it's the same idea to me as with Dez Bryant. Okay, I don't think that Dez Bryant is, you know...
he's not the LeBron James of football.
I don't think so, no.
But I get the reference.
But he's a very good player, and whenever they double-teamed Dez Bryant, the Cowboys were shut down. They couldn't do hardly anything. And it seems to me that right now, with the Cavs team that's playing right now, I don't mean the team that's been here all season, but I mean the team that is coming to the court right now, if you double-team LeBron, they can't win the ball game.
You're exactly right, and this is why the Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love injuries are so huge right now, because the Golden State Warriors can say, okay, LeBron James, we're not going to let you beat us, but we'll let Matthew Dellavedova beat us. We'll let Iman Shumpert go 3-for-11 from the floor. You know, we'll get the ball out of your hands. We'll make J.R. Smith beat us. We'll make Mike Miller beat us. We'll make James Jones beat us. And those role players for Cleveland just, they've come back down to earth. J.R. Smith, you know, at first I thought Cleveland were getting the absolute most out of him in the playoffs, but in these last few games.
What a disappointment yesterday.
Yeah. No kidding. And there are even attempts he made at the rim, you know, when he realized
14,
his jump shot wasn't going.
Or, I don't know, 4-for-10?
Either way, it looked like, I mean, I think it was Stephen A. Smith said he looked like he was playing for the Knicks once again, which that was a burn. I didn't like that joke.
Well, I don't know how often we should hold a Stephen A. Smith opinion to any sort of high standards. So, you know, that's something that I just don't think that we should look at. But okay, so now the series is tied 2-2. It's basically a brand new series, you know. It's a best of three series at this point. Who do you guys have once again? And has it changed at all since last time?
Nope.
Mine's has had to have changed because you now physically can't play five games or four games for that matter. So
did you say they're gonna sweep?
Yeah, I said after Kyrie went out, I almost to the point of arrogance believe the Golden State would sweep the Cavs. And, of course, LeBron James played out of his mind. And on part of the Golden State Warriors, they pretty much let him have whatever he wanted. But it's now going to be a six-game series. Golden State are going to win Game 5, and they're going to win Game 6. They're going to be NBA champions.
I still have Warriors in 7.
Warriors in 7.
I would like it to go to 7, but
all right, so
I got to be real.
Here we go. A little bit more of Coach Matt and Coach Eddie. So say that the Cavs want to get to Game 7, as they do. What do they have to do to make it happen?
I think the bench. The bench has to.
Okay.
The bench has to purposely, all of them, practice their three-point shooting, and then get their best player out there, and then just sub J.R. Smith with the best three-pointer they got every time, every 5 minutes or something. 3 points will win this game, with this series.
Okay. All right.
What about you,
Matt?
This is tough.
you are just so far in the belief that they cannot win. You cannot even give them coaching advice.
Here's what the Cavs can't go small to
LeBron's
respond
hurt.
To Golden. They can't go small to respond to Golden State going small. Timofey Mozgov might be the biggest advantage the Cavs have besides LeBron James. Mozgov seems to get really, really good looks at the rim, and when the Warriors go small, he can still be a rim protector for Cleveland. So no matter what the Warriors do with their lineup, no matter how many minutes they play Andrew Bogut, Timofey Mozgov has to stay on the floor, I think, in order to be a huge presence in the paint. And Tristan Thompson just needs to keep doing what he's doing. He is one of the three main players in this Cavs team right now. You would say it's LeBron James, Tristan Thompson, and Matthew Dellavedova. Tristan Thompson is making huge plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. The offensive rebounds are almost unbelievable. It's weird watching him out there thinking, like, 2 years ago he was just an average power forward who didn't know which hand he was going to shoot with, and now he's rebounding like a beast in the NBA Finals. So I really think Tristan Thompson, Timofey Mozgov, that's the Cavs' biggest advantage outside LeBron James. They have to stay large and in charge.
All right, you heard it right there from Coach Matt and Coach Eddie. We'll see if they do that.
The series 2-2, right?
Yep. 2-2. So we'll see if they do that. I think that you should probably be able to catch the Monday show right here at Bobcat Radio this next week. And Warren Shore is probably going to have some pretty heated opinions of who's doing what and who's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So that's going to be all.
Hashtag Warren Shore.
That's going to be all of our talk right there from the NBA Finals. Now moving on to another Finals real quick. The NHL.
2-2.
Yeah, that game's tied at 2-2, or that series is tied at 2-2 as well between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Chicago Blackhawks. It's so weird to me because Chicago has just been so good for so long now, you know, and I've kind of been pulling for Tampa Bay, but I don't know that it's going to be able to happen this series. Of course, their goalie Bishop, he's only possible for Game 5. He's not even guaranteed, and I think it's different than a lot of sports, as to where, you know, one player being out might not make that big of a difference. But for a guy who, first of all, has to stop all but basically two things that go his way, you know, that's really just the amount of goals that most goalies are allowed to give up is probably around two. I just think that to go to your backup in a series that this big, I don't know that they have that much of a chance. And maybe it's the exact same thing that we were saying with the Cavs, is that with them, you know, not having their top guys on the floor on the ice, I just don't know that it can happen.
I mean, Henrik Lundqvist proved with the New York Rangers that a goalie can pretty much get you through the Stanley Cup Finals. A really, really good goalie is huge in the playoffs. So to be down to your second-string goalie, that can be devastating. And he's also got to be feeling the nerves, you know, playing in such a huge stage. The biggest stage in the hockey world. What I will say is, the Blackhawks, you're right. They have been very dominant the last few years. A constant playoff presence. The Tampa Bay Lightning broke my heart. Madison Square Garden, Game 7. The Rangers are supposed to win that game.
I'm sorry.
They're supposed to win. What happened to home court advantage?
Yeah, tell me about it. I've seen that a lot in a lot of my sports right there. But anyways, we're right here at the 50 break, so we'll go ahead and take a quick break. But before then, I want to give you guys a preview of what we're talking about next. We have now gotten our second request for NASCAR, so I guess we're going to talk a little bit about NASCAR here in a little bit. And we're also going to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball. But before we get there, Matt, once again, tell us about the NBA Draft Show.
Once again, the Lakers, they have the number 2 pick in the draft. The Timberwolves, they have the number 1 pick in the draft. Who's going to go first? Who's going to go second? If you can't get a TV, tune in to KTSW June 25th at 6 p.m. and listen to our very own KTSW NBA Draft Show. We'll be live broadcasting the show from Sean Patrick's staple in the San Marcos Square. It's right off the square on 202 East San Antonio Street. If you want to check out the show live and in person, you can join the host of Bobcat Radio as we live broadcast the results of the NBA draft. We'll break down the players chosen and give commentary on the picks as they happen. If you want more information, go to KTSW.net, our delicious website, where you can find all the fun facts about KTSW and all of our great shows. So stick around. We got about 10 minutes left, so we're going to break down some baseball. Keep it tuned in to KTSW 89.9.